So my plan is 4 lectures on the subject. We're halfway through the first one, and the first one is called The Christian Afterlife, in which I attempt to summarize and generalize Christian views of the afterlife and understand a little bit, maybe see if we can see a little bit about their origins and their relationship to the text. Second lecture we'll call Doctrines of the Pharisees, and going to be looking at Jewish origins behind the afterlife. And the third lecture we'll call Abraham's Lap, in which we will look at our Master Yeshua's own view of the subject through the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And the fourth and last lecture, as we get closer to Shabbat tonight, will be Resurrection, the Kingdom, and the Judgment, in which we'll take a look at eschatology as we're looking into the kingdom of heaven on earth. So we're going to start with, we've already started with the Christian afterlife. And so in the space of one lecture here, it's impossible for me to systematically and fairly represent the afterlife according to the theological constructions that exist within the vast sea of Christendom, Christian thought and theology with all of its diversity. So instead, I'm simply presenting more what I would call a satirical, stereotypical view of heaven and hell, and as a result, oversimplifying the complexity of the subject and making a lot of people angry. So to treat the subject exhaustively, you know, to fairly represent accurately what every sect of Christian thought has to say on the subject, it's beyond my level of interest, frankly, and quite beyond the length of my attention span. It's not like we have forever here. So, you know, broad generalizations will have to suffice. And I thought, why should I, you know, do I have the credentials to even teach on this? And I thought, well, you know, I did grow up evangelical, son of an evangelical pastor. And in our sort of worldview of things, the whole reason for existence was to try to rescue people from spending an eternity in hell. So, you know, our first point of conversation was supposed to be something like, do you know for sure you're going to go to heaven when you die? And then when I was in college, I was a literature major, and I spent a semester learning Dante from a professor who had a master's in medieval literature with a focus on that infernal poet. And in the pages of Dante, the Roman poet Virgil led me across the river Styx through the spheres of hell, ever deeper into the depths of the inferno, until we climbed up Satan into purgatory, where we slowly worked our way up to heaven, and then Beatrice met us there, and she led us through the higher spheres of heaven to the place of divine love. So, been there, done that. And that is a Christian view of heaven and hell. So, what do we mean when we speak of someone going to heaven or hell? Obviously, we don't mean the physical body of the person goes to heaven or hell, right? Christian eschatology holds that human beings, all human beings, except for these soul sleep people, okay, we've put them over there on the shelf for now, right? Mainstream Christian theology teaches that all human beings possess an undying soul, a consciousness that lives on, so to speak, after mortal death. This view existed before Christianity in Greek thought, in the philosophy of Socrates and Plato. But as we will learn, as Toby was teaching us yesterday, actually, it's also a basic assumption of Judaism, specifically Pharisaic Judaism. So the point is that your physical body, your human body, is occupied by an incorporeal, that's a bodiless essence, which carries the distinct imprint of your consciousness and unique identity. It's not to say it is your consciousness. Your consciousness is in your brain. It's in your thinker. The soul is not your brain. So it's not you thinking, you know, your soul is not you thinking like, I'm having a thought right now. That's not your soul. That's your brain. It's a machine. It's a computer. You know, I can prove it with a brick. I can knock your computer off. You know, like, give me a brick. I will show you it's not your soul. But the idea is that after the death of your human body, this soulish being within you vacates your body, carrying the unique imprint of your consciousness and your being, and goes to one of two possible destinations. And according to most Christian theologies, the soul goes immediately to stand in final judgment. Look, I checked this out in the, I have a catechism in my office. So I'm checking my facts as I go here, okay? The soul at death goes immediately to stand in final judgment and then passes on to one of two possible final destinations, heaven or hell. But I should stop here just briefly with an aside, because according to some theologians, it is not the soul that passes into heaven or hell, but rather the soul is immediately transported into that resurrected body. Time traveling, as it were, to the hour of the resurrection in some theories, at which point the person enters into judgment and is assigned in the new undying physical state in eternity in torment or bliss. So, in other words, you die and you're instantly resurrected by some sort of, I don't know, moving through time to the resurrection or something like that. But this is fuzzy as well. I think most Christians believe that the undying soul does go to heaven to wait until the hour of resurrection. It's not clear. Was it ever clear to any of you in church? It's not clear. But according to Christian theology, generally speaking, the undying soul leaves the human body and is immediately consigned to heaven or hell. And hell is a place of torment and fire where souls of the damned anguish under the torments of eternal fire and the malevolence of demonic hosts. Satan is there, working primarily as a jailer, and hell is his realm, and he is the lord of hell. Geographically speaking, hell might be someplace underground, or occupying some, I don't know, did you ever hear about this in the 90s when the Russians dug a well so deep that they opened up hell accidentally? Yeah, that was big news. What happened is they a borehole 12 miles down in Siberia, and wouldn't you know it, I mean these people have no regard for the environment whatsoever. They busted through right into the caverns of hell, and they heard such terrifying noises coming up through this borehole that they got a heat-sensitive, and smoke and whatnot, a heat-protected microphone that they could lower down. I guess they had 12 miles of cable to lower this microphone down. You can go on the internet, and there's audio tracks of the sound of the souls in torment. And this, so in this news story actually was on TBN, which is back in the 90s. This is a big story.